Hey, we're going to continue the hour now by talking about something that happened in Raleigh last week. Every single year, the North Carolina AIDS Action Network, NCAN for short, has an all-day event at the General Assembly called HIV Speaks on Jones Street. This is a day of advocacy where NCAN representatives go to the State House and Senate, meet with lawmakers, and push for and against various bills that are high priorities for the North Carolina AIDS Action Network over the course of the year. And we are joined in the studio by a couple of folks to talk about what went down last week. Christina Adelake is the Policy and Communications Manager for NCAN, and Matt Martin is the Grassroots Advocacy Manager. Christina, Matt, thank you both so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
NCAN.org, by the way, is the website for more information, NCAAN.org. So the Advocacy Day was a few days ago. How did it go?
I think it went really well. It was our first time being back in person. For the past 2 years, we had done the Zoom version of the event, which got old, but was, you know, impactful,
Did it get old or did it start out old and just get older?
Yeah, by the time we got there, it started off old.
Yeah.
But it was actually really great to still be able to do that event. Mm. So it's like, we won't, you know, be too hard on Zoom, but it was really great to be back in person, to be back in the General Assembly. It felt like a really long time, and I think a lot of our advocates were really excited just to be in the same room together. Mm. For some folks, it had been a couple of years since they had seen each other, and a lot has changed. A lot has changed not only in HIV, but just with a bunch of other health issues that have happened over the past couple of years.
That shall remain nameless.
Right, right. We won't even go there. But, you know, a lot has changed, and there were a lot of new asks and a lot of same asks from before. But it was a really cool opportunity for folks to get together.
So before we get into those specifics, like the act of being a public advocate virtually or over Zoom versus in person, like how big of a difference is it? Do you find it's more effective to be face-to-face?
Yeah, I mean, I think the advocates get a lot more whenever they're actually able to speak face-to-face in person with a representative. Mm-hmm. So there's something to say about that. But also with the Zoom and virtual meetings, like all of that has to be scheduled in advance, whereas at the General Assembly, you can just drop into an office.
Right.
Like, we schedule meetings so that folks can try and meet with representatives on the spot. But with being in person, they can go straight to those meetings, meet with the LAs, and kind of make their face known, even if they don't have a meeting where you can't do that on Zoom.
Yeah, a lot of advocates felt like, they're like, oh, the energy's different. I can sense the energy of the legislator and kind of feel their vibe. And I'm like, that is so true. That makes a huge difference.
What was the tenor of the conversations that you had? It was last week, Wednesday, right? How did it go?
I mean, I think it was great overall. We're lucky that at the General Assembly, we've got great relationships with a lot of different legislators. And I think the advocates are really experienced and that they know how to have those conversations. A lot of them, our leaders have been having them for years. So I think we have a good presence in the GA, and it always seems like really great conversations are had. And I think it's really important that these conversations are had too. So
yeah, I was lucky in the meetings that I was a part of for a lot of the legislators to be really receptive to our policy asks. We had talked about some, you know, issues around PrEP, but we had talked around, you know, around the opioid crisis and just ways to address that. And there was a actual curiosity that came from a lot of legislators and even some folks that we had not met with before, you know, newer legislators, they were really open. And that's something that I think was really promising, and the advocates absolutely took notice of that.
And I know we're talking about Republicans as well as Democrats here. This is something we've talked about in the past, like the extent to which you frame these issues as like public health issues makes it easier to make some of these issues bipartisan that otherwise might not be. Having said that, there are also some issues on the table and some bills that are quite partisan in nature. So when you were speaking with lawmakers last week, what were your priorities? What were your top issues?
Well, we wanted to stick to our priorities and make sure that the HIV Medication Assistance Program, HMAP for short, stays fully funded. And, you know, this current session, I don't think that was up for debate. I think that was handled last session. So that was really good. So that was a thank you on that piece. But then we also wanted to talk about increasing access for PrEP and PEP, which are medications that you can take to prevent getting HIV. And we also wanted to talk about support for our syringe service programs that have been doing a lot of work, more so these past couple of years than they have before, in addressing a lot of the overdoses and overdose deaths that have occurred in our state, particularly in the western part of the state. And so we wanted to be able to educate legislators around those issues, knowing that things can get a little dicey at times. So we just wanted to take our time and be able to educate folks on the issues and really describe the public health consequences associated.
And then Medicaid expansion's on the table as well. And this is one where the state Senate might actually pass this year, and then it goes to the state House, and who knows? But how are those conversations?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a buzz in the General Assembly on Wednesday that we have not seen before. Medicaid expansion is something that we've been beating for the past 10 years, and I think advocates are tired of it, but of course are going to continue to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with there being so much movement and excitement in the Senate, you could really feel that throughout the NCGA.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was exciting that I know a lot of advocates were in the chambers when the Senate passed the second reading. So like, it's a lot of buzz. It was a really strong in favor. I think there were 44 in favor, 2 opposed. So like, vast majority. So it's just a buzz that we haven't felt, even though we've been working on this for so long.
It was very surreal to be in that gallery and to hear the Senate leader say things that we had been saying for years. And it was so, disheartening for him to see, to see him come around on this issue and to be able to, introduce this bill for a vote. We alongside, many advocates, like Matt said, we've been working for 10 years on this. Mm-hmm. So it was just really surreal for that vote to happen on the same day that our advocates happened to be in the building and got to witness it with their own eyes. That was really awesome.
It's a testament to the power of sustained advocacy, right? I think a lot of people, like, getting into politics for the first time, like, they have a campaign, they lose, they give up. It's like, nothing ever changes. And it's slow a lot of times, but you take a few years and things eventually do move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think HIV and AIDS advocates are particularly understand that with how the AIDS epidemic happened in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And you have to be persistent. It's not going to happen overnight, and you're going to face a lot of pushback, but you got to keep going. And I think that this is, like you said, a real testament to that sustained advocacy.
Speaking with Christina Adeleke and Matt Martin, both with the North Carolina AIDS Action Network, NCAN for short, NCAAN.org is their website. We're speaking about HIV Speaks on Jones Street, which was a day of advocacy last week, Wednesday. Right now we're talking about Medicaid expansion, which was a kind of a positive development last week. The less positive development was House Bill 755, which is characterized as the parents' rights bill. And man, most of it is. But then there are some really nasty provisions in there as well, which are very relevant to this conversation. So how did you approach that, speaking with lawmakers?
Yeah, I think a lot of the conversations, if it came up, it didn't come up during every meeting, of course, but it did come up during some. And the correlation that we kept making was around stigma and how in the HIV space, stigma around HIV serves as a huge barrier for folks getting tested, getting in treatment. And so we always tried to work to eradicate that, to make folks feel comfortable and safe to be able to share about their status. And, we also know that the LGBTQ community is disproportionately impacted by HIV. Mm-hmm. And so dealing with, potentially compounded stigmas is unthinkable that any person, let alone a child, would have to go through. And I think that, when we heard that this bill came out, we were really discouraged by that, because that isn't what we need to be doing for our students and our teachers. We need to create a space where people feel like they can be themselves and it not be demonized.
Yeah, and I think that it's just like rhetoric that's not actually happening in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, particularly with what's happened over the past several weeks with school shootings, there are so many things we need to focus on to keep students safe. And I mean, implementing things like this is not going to keep students safe. It's not a matter of safety at all. It does nothing but, as Christina said, stigmatize students. It makes them uncomfortable to talk about things. I think it could lead to potential bullying.
It's actually quite harmful.
100%.
That's one of the things that I had in a conversation with someone speaking about school shootings and about the mental health impacts on kids having to deal with that trauma, even if they're not in a school that deals with it. Like, every student in every school has to be thinking about this now. And one of the things that they said was, it's so important for mental health purposes for every kid to have one, not a whole bunch, but one adult in the school that they can feel comfortable talking to and being open with and being honest with. And then you have this bill that directly targets some kids for doing exactly that. And like, it has a ripple effect.
Yeah, and that one person could be the difference between life and death. You know, especially right now, you know, youth suicides are increasing. And I think that, I don't think that that was brought up during the introduction of that bill and how this is going to be, you know, not helpful towards that. And it's just, it's really disheartening just knowing the reality of what kids are going through and seeing this kind of response is just awful.
Speaking with Christina Adeleke and Matt Martin, North Carolina AIDS Action Network, I promised we wouldn't say the word COVID, but since you're talking about public health issues. Was it different, or how different was it, or was it the same speaking about public health issues with lawmakers post-COVID versus pre-COVID? Was it easier to have those conversations about public health? Are you competing with COVID for attention? Did you get a sense of COVID as an issue affecting the conversations that you had with lawmakers at all?
Yeah, I think that legislators were curious to know how COVID had impacted our work, had impacted either HIV rates, Hep C rates, overdoses, overdose deaths, and it did. So I think that being able to meet with them and explain how that happened, how it may look in a particular part of the state, was really helpful.
Yeah, and I think just the general way that we approach life now with COVID, I think, has shifted the way that it felt at the General Assembly. I mean, we made sure that folks were tested before they came to the event to ensure there wasn't any community spread, especially because we work with immunocompromised folks. So that was different. Seeing people with masks throughout the building was different. So yeah, it was definitely a different feel. And I think also, as we talked about with Medicaid expansion, there's an understanding, like with our public health emergency, Medicaid has been provided to a lot of folks who otherwise would not have it. So I think that's kind of accelerated the conversation out around expansion to ensure that those folks stay on in care, stay with insurance, and don't lose their coverage.
And I'm sure COVID really underscored how important healthcare is for people.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100%, yes. Yeah.
And it reinforced that argument that, you know, we can provide coverage for people. And that was something that was brought up during the Medicaid expansion vote, that there are currently people who are in the gap who, because of the public health emergency, are able to have health coverage, and the world is still spinning. Everything is fine. So it was encouraging to know that they felt comfortable to be able to move in that space. And in a weird way, COVID helped them move along in that direction.
We got to start wrapping up, but if people want to know more, if they want to get involved, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, head to our website, www.ncaan.org. And then you can also follow us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Matt, anything else that folks want to know?
No, that's it. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We're always in the community. It's Pride Month. We will be at all kinds of Pride events. So check out our website if you want to get involved. We're happy to have you. Yeah. Always looking for volunteers. Exciting stuff happening.
NCAAN.org is the website. That's North Carolina AIDS Action Network. Go there and find out more. Christina, Matt, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.